39. To his niece, Sophia Alexandrovna. Geneva. January the 1st, 13th, 1868. My dear, precious Sonichka. Despite your request, I have not even yet answered your letter, and give you herewith my word of honour that henceforth I will write regularly every month. In my letter to Alexander Pavlovich, I explained, as well as I could, the reason for my silence. All the time I was in such a bad temper and such continuous anxiety that I felt I needed to shut myself into myself and bear my woe in solitude. In those days I should have found it hard to write to you. What could I have said? Should I have talked of my bad temper? It would certainly have found expression anyhow in my letter. But this nonsense is irrelevant. My position was most difficult. On my work hangs my whole future. I have not only had an advance of 4,500 rubles from the Vyestnik, but have also promised on my word of honour, and reiterated that promise in every letter, that the novel should really be written. But directly before dispatching the finished MS to the office, I found myself obliged to destroy the greater part of it, for I was no longer pleased with it, and if one is displeased with one's work, it can't possibly be good. So I destroyed the greater part of what I had written. Yet on this novel, and on the payments of my debts, depended my whole present and future. 3 weeks ago, December the 18th by the style here, I attacked another novel, and am now working day and night. The idea of the book is the old one, which I always have so greatly liked, but it is so difficult that hitherto I never have had the courage to carry it out. And if I'm setting to work at it now, it's only because I'm in a desperate plight. The basic idea is the representation of a truly perfect and noble man, and this is more difficult than anything else in the world, particularly nowadays. All writers, not ours alone, but foreigners also, who have sought to represent absolute beauty, were unequal to the task, for it is an infinitely difficult one. The beautiful is the ideal, but ideals, with us as in civilized Europe, have long been wavering. There is in the world only one figure of absolute beauty, Christ. That infinitely lovely figure is, as a matter of course, an infinite marvel. The whole Gospel of St. John is full of this thought. John sees the wonder of the incarnation, the visible apparition of the beautiful. I have gone too far in my explanation. I will only say further that of all the noble figures in Christian literature, I reckon Don Quixote as the most perfect. But Don Quixote is noble only by being at the same time comic. And Dickens's Pickwickians, they were certainly much weaker than Don Quixote, but still it's a powerful work, a comic. And this it is which gives them their great value. The reader feels sympathy and compassion with the beautiful, derided and unconscious of its own worth. The secret of humour consists precisely in this art of wakening the reader's sympathy. Jean Valjean is likewise a remarkable attempt, but he awakens sympathy only by his terrible fate and the injustice of society towards him. I have not yet found anything similar to that, anything so positive, and therefore I fear that the book may be a positive failure. Single details will perhaps come out not badly, but I fear that the novel may be tiresome. It is to be very extensive. The first part I wrote in 23 days and have lately sent off. This first part has no action at all. It is confessedly only a prologue. It is right that it should not compromise the whole work in any way, but it illuminates nothing and poses no problem. My sole aim is to awake at least such interest in the reader as will make him read the second part. That second part I am beginning today and shall finish in a month. I have always worked as quickly as that. I believe that it will be stronger and more significant than the first part. Well, dear, wish me luck. The novel is called The Idiot. and is dedicated to you, Sofia Alexandrovna. My dear, I wish that the book may turn out worthy of that dedication. At any rate, I'm not called upon to judge my own work, least of all in the excited state in which I now am. My health is most satisfactory, and I can bear well even the hardest work, but with regard to Anna Grigorievna's condition, I am now anticipating a difficult time. I shall work for 4 months longer, and hope then to be able to go to Italy. Solitude is essential to me just now. Fedya and Pasha make me really sad. I am writing to Fedya by this post. Life abroad is on the whole very troublesome, and I long terribly for Russia. Anna Grigorievna and I live quite solitary here. My life passes thus. I get up late, light the fire, it is fearfully cold. We drink coffee, and then I go to work. About 4 I go to a restaurant, where I dine for 2 francs, with wine. Anna Grigorievna prefers to dine at home. After dinner I go to a café, drink coffee, and read the Moskovskie Vedomosti, Moscow News, and the Golos from A to Z. For exercise I walk 30 minutes in the streets, and then betake myself to home and work. I light the fire, we drink coffee, and I set to again. Anna Grigorievna declares that she's immensely happy. Geneva is a dull, gloomy, Protestant, stupid town with a frightful climate, but very well suited for work. I don't suppose I shall be able to get back to Russia at all before September, alas, my dear. As soon as I do, I shall hasten to embrace you. I still dally with the thought of starting a magazine after my return, but of course all depends upon the success of my present novel. Only think, I am working so furiously, and yet I don't know whether the MS will arrive in time for the January number or not. That would be very unpleasant for me. I embrace and kiss you. Your ever friendly inclined, Fyodor Dostoevsky.